anaerobic energy systems and lactate threshold. When we're working really hard, our muscles can't make use of the mitochondria and the oxygen system, aerobic system, breakdown of proteins, breakdown of fats, breakdown of carbohydrates. When the intensity is quite hard during our exercise, then the body has to use some reserved stores of substrates to use for energy. These are our anaerobic energy sources. Two main sources are being used, either glycogen, found in muscles, stored in muscles, or phosphocreatine, also found, stored as muscles. And be aware that a question about energy sources is a different type of question to one about anaerobic energy systems. Sources are where we start from. Systems is how we produce the actual ATP. During maximum effort, flat-out effort, the most forceful muscle contractions you can think of, maximum force being exerted, then the muscles are able to use their stored phosphocreatine. Phosphocreatine is broken down very, very rapidly, a single reaction, into its substrates, which are creatine and phosphate. That simple breakdown releases energy. And that energy can then be used to resynthesize ATP for very, very rapid muscle contractions. So the phosphocreatine is there in the muscles to allow some ATP to be resynthesized, but very limited amounts of ATP can be resynthesized this way because we've only got a certain amount of phosphocreatine stored in muscles. Because we've got a limited amount of phosphocreatine stored in muscles, then our ability to produce energy anaerobically through the breakdown of phosphocreatine, it lasts about 5 to 8 seconds. Depends on the exercise, depends on the individual, depends on their level of fitness. So a rapid breakdown of phosphocreatine to creatine and phosphate, release of energy and resynthesize ATP. When the exercise isn't completely maximum, which is really, really hard, then we can still use glycogen as an energy source through glycolysis. And remember, glycolysis is the breakdown of glycogen to pyruvate, no problem at all. Well, you did that work with aerobic energy systems. And during that glycolysis, some energy is released, so we can resynthesize some ATP, but again, limited amounts. The big problem with this system being used over and over again is we get too much pyruvate produced. So much pyruvate that not all of it can be taken into the mitochondria, and therefore the excess pyruvate is converted into lactate, and that causes fatigue. Whereas the muscle phosphocreatine stores can supply sufficient energy for 5 to 8 seconds of maximal exercise, when the exercise is not quite maximal but very, very severe, lasting about 30 seconds to 2 minutes, so sort of a 400 meter run or a 100 meter swim flat out, then during these sort of exercises, the main source of resynthesized ATP would be glycolysis. And we can summarize that with a diagram, the same as we did with the PC system. When we exercise, we tend to get fatigued. It depends on how the exercise goes as to how the fatigue develops. We can get fatigue from sprinting too fast or exercising at maximum level for too long a duration because we're going to run out of phosphocreatine. Our phosphocreatine stores can only last a few seconds. So it can be that fatigue is due to running out of phosphocreatine, depletion of phosphocreatine stores in muscle. And that's very, very localized. And if you're doing exercise that involves, for example, just a bench press with a very, very heavy weight, maximum lift, then it will be the pectoral muscles, the tricep muscles that will run out of phosphocreatine. We can also produce lactic acid, lactate, really quickly by using glycolysis as a means of resynthesizing ATP. And then the buildup of lactate can be a cause of fatigue. And it's best thought of as lactate being lactic acid, and it's the acidity of lactate, the lactic acid, that can stop muscles contracting properly. A third possible source of fatigue can be in endurance events lasting over 2 hours, for example, where we can actually run out of glycogen. And when we run out of glycogen, we'd have to switch to using fats as a potential aerobic energy source, and fats demand much more oxygen to resynthesize their ATP, and therefore it slows down the production of ATP, and you have to slow down in order to produce your ATP. Glycogen depletion can be a cause of fatigue. And finally, although it doesn't link into energy systems, most likely that fatigue is due to dehydration, sweating, loss of electrolytes. That can stop the metabolism working properly and can lead to fatigue. While we're talking about anaerobic energy systems, let's talk about this idea of lactate being produced. Lactate is only produced during high intensity exercise. And we have a term that we use a lot called the lactate threshold. The lactate threshold is when lactate starts to increase in levels, and the increase is detected in the blood. So lactate threshold is the increase in lactate levels in the blood. It's also known as OBLA, the onset of blood lactate accumulation. It only occurs because we can't get sufficient oxygen down into the mitochondria for aerobic processes to work. That occurs two different occasions. It tends to occur at the start of most exercise, where we can't get enough oxygen down to the mitochondria at the start of exercise, and we tend to then rely on anaerobic exercise at the beginning of most exercises. We have this thing called the oxygen deficit, which we mentioned in a previous podcast. We also get this lactate threshold starting to occur, anaerobic work during high intensity exercise. And it may not seem obvious, but the more you think about this in terms of oxygen, there is a relationship between aerobic work and anaerobic work, because we only produce lactate when our oxygen supplies are limited, when exercise becomes anaerobic. Well, oxygen supplies only become limited when oxygen consumption is quite high. Does that make sense? Oxygen consumption is quite high and has to be quite high before we start producing lactate anaerobically. Think of it as some sort of run. You're on a treadmill running around and you're going at different pace every now and again. So you start off walking on the treadmill, then you'll start to jog on a treadmill, then you'll start to run on the treadmill, then you start to run quite fast on the treadmill. Under those sort of circumstances, you're going to start to have a gradual increase in your oxygen consumption, but it's not until you're running that you start to produce lactate. In other words, lactate threshold is some percentage of your VO2 max. And that percentage will increase as you get fitter. The more you train, the greater that increase is of lactate threshold. And you can see on the graph that if we look at these different stages in exercise, that the oxygen consumption, as expected, goes up in some sort of straight line as the exercise gets harder and harder and harder. But our lactate levels start and stay quite low until we begin to run and then maybe sprint on this treadmill, and then we start to produce lactate. So our lactate threshold, where the lactate level suddenly increases, that is some proportion of our oxygen consumption. When people run around training, the big misconception is when you're training at your VO2 max. That's wrong. VO2 max is complete and utter exhaustion. You cannot carry on. We don't do that during training. We carry on going. So most performers tend to exercise at a level that's just about their lactate threshold, maybe just above their lactate threshold. So maybe they're producing lactate and the lactate's going around their body, but it's not hard enough to produce complete and utter exhaustion. Elite performers, that lactate threshold idea is they're going to be working at somewhere around 85-90% of their VO2 max. More modest performers, more likely to be more like 60-70% or 80% of their VO2 max. So lactate threshold is linked into the idea of VO2 max. And you need to check both sets of podcasts about aerobic systems, anaerobic systems, and VO2 max oxygen consumption to get a better understanding of what's going on.